Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday Morning Show with hosts Phil Huff and
Julie Callamine. Good morning, Phil. How are you today?
I'm doing really well. Sun's shining, which it hasn't been for a couple days now. And we have an exciting show this morning with three gentlemen from the Pendre Peddlers to talk about the Watershed Crest Trail. We're going to get to that interview in a moment, but first we have the weather from Julie.
Yes, we do. Well, Phil, today we're going to have a high of 68 degrees and mostly cloudy. And tonight we're looking at a low of 50 degrees and a chance of showers, a slight chance. And then tomorrow, Wednesday, again, a chance of showers and a high of 73 degrees. So kind of nice weather. Thursday, again, mostly sunny. Looks like high in the middle and upper 70s all week. It's a good week for summertime.
Yeah, the Weather Service has been lying lately. They've been saying it's going to be rainy, and it's been nice, and then it's nice, and it's been rainy. And I guess that's sort of late spring, not summer here. Usually it's nicer.
Yes, but compared to last year, yeah. I'm happy with any little bit of rain we get.
Yeah, that's true. Everyone's rooting for rain.
That's right. And the huckleberries are rooting for rain too, Phil. Are they growing? Does anyone know? Are they getting bigger? I think so. People are out picking.
I think Jim knows where some ripe ones are, but you won't pry it out of him.
We should introduce our guests.
Yeah, let's do. So we've got Jim Mellon, past president of the Pendre Peddlers, and I think one of the chief instigators of many good things in town. Mayor Shelby Rotstad, who was one of the architects of the idea of the Watershed Crest Trail and brought it forth as a councilman before city council. And John Monks, who I understand, John, in addition to being secretary, you're the head of the Trails Committee, responsible for overseeing the eventual construction of the Watershed Crest Trail.
That's right, yes.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm not sure who best to start with, but just tell us a little bit about the Pendre Peddlers and their involvement with the trail, how that came to be.
I'll go.
What's that?
Shelby came to one of our meetings back in the summer of 2014 and brought up the idea of actively going after building the trail. I think the idea of the trail has existed for decades. I mean, anybody who's stood at the top of the Lakeview Triple or top of Old Chair One at Schweitzer and looked over to Baldy has imagined that path and that trail across there. So it's something that's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, I think even David Thompson wrote about it in his journals.
Right. So, we should check.
So in its current genesis, where did the idea start? Where did the idea of the trail come from?
Well, I can run with that one. I started when I began, actually it was probably before I started serving on city council, I want to say maybe 2010 or 11. And it was at that time that I discovered that the city owned over 4,000 acres up there in the Little Sand Creek watershed. I had no idea. Since about, I want to say 1919, the city of Sandpoint has had the vision and the wherewithal to actively pursue owning the watershed up there. So they've had a purchasing plan for almost 100 years, and in that time they've amassed that amount of land, and it's really for water protection. And of course, historically, that's been the Little Sand Creek has been our source for water until recently, and we now have a lake plant that we draw from. Anyway, I didn't realize that we had such an asset up there, and it's not just an asset in terms of wildlife and quality water, but the recreation potential there is huge, and particularly for a community like Sandpoint that really, I think, in a lot of ways defines itself by the recreational opportunities and outdoor opportunities that are here. And so it just seemed natural to me that to be able to open that area up to at least some appropriate amount of public access. And speaking with friends of mine who are avid mountain bikers in the area, certainly the Pendre Peddlers have been that group here locally for a number of years. They built a lot of trails. The idea came to me to approach them and see if they wanted to help the city build a trail up there and care for it and manage it. And it just seemed kind of like an obvious thing. You know, if Sandpoint were to compare itself to other recreational tourist-based communities around the West, for instance, Moab comes to mind, Bend. These are communities that have really avid resources and assets for trails and mountain bike riding and this kind of thing. And Sandpoint, you know, we've got some nice amenities, but we don't have amenities that really compare with those communities that it recognizes being kind of at the top in the U.S. And I think with this trail, with Watershed Crest Trail, it really kind of puts us on the map, because this trail, I'll tell you a little bit about it because we probably haven't even quite gone there, but this is roughly a 25-mile loop trail, as it's proposed, that goes from the second switchback up the Schweitzer Road, goes up to the roundabout, and then continues up along the west side of the resort up to behind the triple at the top of Schweitzer. And then it turns, and by the way, that's phase one, and that's probably close to 8 miles.
You can ride that now.
And we just, just completed really this year with a lot of improvements. Some of the trail already existed with the basin trail in the lower section. That's been dramatically improved this year, and a really, really nice trail. Phase two goes from Schweitzer over to Baldy Mountain to the southwest. And then from there, phase three turns east and goes towards the top of Mikinik. And then phase four would be getting back down. So it's envisioned as being, you know, a multi-year process for construction. Anyway, to get back to your original question, you know, it just seemed like an obvious thing to be able to open that up to public access and really make it, you know, a great amenity for Sandpoint. One thing I'll mention about it, too, is the majority of the trail goes along the crest line, where you're going from ridge to ridge. And you just have miles and miles of 360-degree views of the region. And it really is just beautiful, beautiful area. So
I have so many questions about this trail. And the first one is that just wanting to make sure this trail is separate from any hiking trails that are now in Schweitzer. That's true. So if you were a hiker and you've been up and down and around the trails, this would be a new experience for you if you got on your bike?
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Yeah, so, you know, previously the area was completely closed to public access by the city. And there are other landowners up there, Bureau of Land Management, Idaho Department of Lands. There's a few private property owners, primarily Stimson. They have a piece that's kind of right on the edge of the watershed, Cherry Tree Timber Company, and a couple others. But for the most part, the vast majority is city-owned with quite a bit of BLM up there. And at this point, you know, everybody's really excited about the opportunity up there, and I think everybody shares the vision.
Yeah. Go ahead, Phil.
So for people who are new to town, they're maybe even driving across the bridge for the first time as we're talking about this, orient them to the landscape. Locals will be familiar with a lot of the geography you're describing. For someone new, paint a picture from looking up at the lake level to the peaks.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're crossing the Long Bridge going north, above town, you can just kind of see the edge of Schweitzer there, the east end of Schweitzer Mountain Resort. So that basin, when you're driving up to Schweitzer, that whole basin is the Little Sand Creek watershed. And so this trail circumnavigates that basin along the ridge line. So it really kind of does a 360 up there from going up to the top of Schweitzer and then turning back southwest and looping back around towards town.
Yeah, as you come across the Long Bridge and are looking at Sandpoint and then the mountains up behind us there, you're looking into the kind of the south side of Schweitzer. You can't really see into Schweitzer, but we're seeing along the ridge. And the trail that's built now runs right along the ridge that forms the skyline as you're looking along there. And then crosses what if you're a Schweitzer skier, the West Bowl area that you would access from the top of the triple. the trail. You're looking right into that as you're coming across the Long Bridge Trail, crosses that, and then goes out along, will go out along the long meadowy ridge that you can see extending off from the top of Schweitzer. And so it's going to be right there.
And it'll be a loop when it's completed. It's phase one, so it's not currently a loop, but we'll be able to loop around.
It will be a loop, yeah, a big one. You better be in shape.
Yeah, and it doesn't start at the top, I'm assuming. Is there some up and down in that trail? Lots of ups and downs.
Well, there's you'll have options. If you want to, you could start at Switchback 2, just above Switchback 2 right now, and ride all the way up to Schweitzer. Oh. And another section of trail is going to get added that will actually connect over to the top of the Great Escape Quad, so you'll be able to go up to Schweitzer, ride up the quad, and then take off on a trail that will connect you right into Watershed Crest.
So when it's eventually complete, it'll be an open loop. To close the loop, there'll be a couple miles of roads, including that bit of road up the second switchback of Schweitzer. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I want to turn to Jim Mellon and ask him how he got involved, because I think there's a place we want to go there in describing the trail as well.
Well, I looked at that from the top of Schweitzer years ago, like so many people. And so I had this great idea in 2002. I was going to ride my bike from Schweitzer to Baldy, you know, with no trails at all. And I can't say I was entirely successful. I got about halfway and ran out of water. And so I was on this one peak, and I looked down and I saw some roads down in the watershed, and I thought, boy, if those things go through, I'm taking them. So it was quite an adventure. But you know, I've looked at that ever since, you know, and I've taken my split snowboard from Schweitzer to Baldy before, and that's a cool adventure. So this is going to be, you know, the greatest trail in the region, and already phase one is it's one of the better trails.
So parts of it are complete, of course, parts yet to be built. And Jim, you've ridden part of it. Has anyone walked the length to thoroughly scout it out, ground truth things?
Oh, yeah. I've been up there several times and done the entire loop, GPS'd it a couple times last year. And I've been up there exploring this year. And it's, you know, it's long, it's difficult, but it's beautiful. I mean, you get up there and you see some of these views. You get out on these alpine meadows with bare grass and views of Lake Pendere and the surrounding mountains. And if you took someone out there on a beautiful day, like John Monks and I were out there a couple of weeks ago, and the bare grass is in full bloom, if you took anyone out there, they would be 100% behind this project.
It was stunning. And I was up on Baldy on Sunday afternoon, rode my motorcycle up as far as I could up. You can ride a four-wheeler motorcycle all the way to the top of Baldy, and then hiked out the ridge for a ways. And again, it's just absolutely beautiful up there.
So eventually, the users, will this be only for those who are expert mountain bikers, or enough of the train available to those who just plod along once in a while like myself?
Not at all. This is going to be not just for bikers. I mean, it's, you know, hikers, runners are going to be excited about this. And I think when it's done, there are going to be a lot of options. I mean, you'll be able to, for example, you could ride the quad up and ride over, ride partway out the ridge towards Baldy, ride back, and then drop down the phase one trails, and that's 4,000 feet of vertical. Or you could drop out around the Spires area and have a gravity ride all the way down to back down to Schweitzer Village. So you're saying
I'd get on the chairlift, start at the top, and just cruise all the way down if I want to?
Yes.
Is that true? Oh,
well,
I'm on that. I'm going.
That's the ultimate goal, and actually that part of that trail is under construction even as we speak. It's being built right now.
So
our goal is as a bike club, as we like to promote bicycling. We like to promote trails. We built a lot of trails, but we, as bicyclists, we're happily sharing a lot of those trails with runners, hikers, You go up into Sherwood Forest Trail system up off of Pine Street Loop there. There's people up there recreating every day on trails that our bike club has built over the years. And we adhere to the International Mountain Biking Association standards for trail building. It's the idea is to build a very, very sustainable and high quality trail that's a pleasure to ride, a pleasure to hike. So it's not, the intent is not to make it incredibly difficult. It's going to be difficult enough, right, even if we build it as easy as possible.
So it sounds like the standards are for fairly wide track, not a narrow single track.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, typically the trail might be 3 or 4 feet wide. But I want to speak to that point because those IMBA standards are really important. And, you know, one thing that I thought was really cool, the section of what we call the Basin Trail, which is the lower section of Phase 1 that was just rebuilt this spring. After this incredible rain event that we had last week where it just poured all day, and it was really amazing to me to be up there and see that there was no erosion damage. And so that is just essential to the trail construction process. And I think it gives me a lot of faith that these guys are doing an excellent job. They're building the right kind of trail, not just for, you know, really enjoyable riding, but it's going to be a sustainable trail that's, you know, not going to negatively impact the environment, and it's going to be there for a long time.
So where are we on the spectrum of part of it's built, but there's a lot of it that's still in a line on a map vision? How far along are we?
Well, we're moving along. Like you say, quite a bit of the trail is already built, all the way from Switchback 2 up to the west side of Schweitzer. The connector trail to the top of the Great Escape Quad is being built even as we speak. We are in the process of obtaining agreements with property owners, with Idaho Department of Lands. We have an application pending with them to build trail, because it's the Uinta Ridge area just to the west of Schweitzer is all on Idaho Department of Lands property, and we anticipate that we're going to be permitted for that within the next few weeks and be able to build trail out Uinta Ridge. And then we're also talking with BLM. Of course, BLM is a federal agency, and if we're going to propose an action on federal lands, that's going to initiate a NEPA process. And so that's what we're beginning with BLM, where they will go, will show, say, here's what we're proposing to do. They will evaluate it and make a decision on it.
Is there also some Forest Service land it crosses? Will they go through a separate process if there is, or?
There, not really, no. There's only Forest Service land in the Mikinik Trail section. And so if the trail ultimately ends up descending Mikinik, then it will cross there. So we're not sure if that's going to be the final route yet or not. That's the end of Phase 4, you might say. So we're quite a ways out from that point. Yeah. One thing I want to mention, just because, you know, I was mentioning the property owners out there that have been participating, and I want to give a shout out to Schweitzer, because Schweitzer Resort has been a phenomenal partner in this. A significant section of the trail goes through their land, and they've taken on construction of that part of the trail. They funded quite a bit of trail, and have really just been great partners. So I think it's pretty obvious the benefit that the trail provides for the resort and the users there. It's just a great marriage up there.
Yeah, well, I we've talked a little bit about permitting of a trail like this, and I'm sure that that's an extensive process. And you just told us that Schweitzer is a funder helping get part of the trail built. But I imagine we need more funding than just Schweitzer. How is that working? How do you all find folks that can help get the trail built? Is it volunteers? How does it happen?
Write us a check.
Pretty please.
Right. All no, right, everyone.
Well, Ponderay Peddlers is a 501c3 nonprofit So we're a charity. We're doing this out of the goodness of our hearts and out of our love for trails and recreation and riding and so on. So we seek funds from grantors, foundations, individuals, our members, and we have a local foundation who has committed funds towards towards helping to pay for the construction of this trail, but we also are continuing to seek additional funding.
And is it mainly funding, or are you also seeking volunteers to help build the trail?
Both. Typically, the way our trail construction works is we have a mini excavator that belongs to the bike club, and that we were able to purchase with a grant from a generous funder, and so the mini excavator goes along and roughs out a trail, and then a volunteer, usually crew, comes in along behind with hand tools and puts the finishing touches on it and polishes it out. But the bulk of the dirt moving happens with a machine.
So if you're just tuning in, we're talking with the Pondre Peddlers about the Watershed Crest Trail today. We have in the room with us John Monks, Shelby Ronstadt, and Jim Mellon. And just a reminder, this is 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. And we're getting into the digging of the trail part, which is always pretty exciting. I'm interested in, is this something that's going to take a couple more years or in a couple more decades? What's the vision for Phase 4? Shelby, you mentioned it was a ways off.
Yeah, originally the vision was this would be a four-year process, four stages in 4 years. I think that was ambitious as an initial goal. I still think it's possible for us to achieve that, but it would really mean that we're doing the most we can each season, because you got to realize you can only build trail up there for maybe 12 weeks a year because of the snow and other conditions. So, and last year, of course, we got cut a little short because the fire danger was so high. So it dramatically shortened the amount of construction time allowed. But, we still also haven't determined the final route, particularly for Phase 4 is the difficult one. And so until we know that, it's difficult to answer that question. But I'll also say that, I think this vision, it doesn't really stop with four phases either, because what we see up there is just an incredible, the beginning of an incredible entire region that's available potentially for recreation. And not just within the basin itself, but looking north, there's no reason why that trail couldn't continue up the Selkirks from crest to crest. And we could get the Watershed Crest Trail could just be the beginning of a much larger trail vision in the Selkirks. So I see this as an ongoing vision that really could carry on for decades. But certainly the Watershed Crest Trail, it's we still have 3 or 4 years to mm-hmm. to get to a place where we feel. Mm-hmm.
And that would be an exciting trail, a trail that was many, many miles heading north from Sandpoint. And I imagine that would have an economic effect on Sandpoint to have such an interesting trail as time goes on.
Absolutely. Like I mentioned before, assets like this really would put Sandpoint on the map as a destination location for people who are looking, they're looking around for great places to go in North America to bike, hike, even Nordic ski. And unless you have a certain asset base, a certain quantity of amenities that make it worthwhile for you spending a weekend or a week here mm-hmm. and checking it all out, they're going to choose somewhere else to go travel. So I think this trail system would really provide that amenity that's really attractive for people looking around for great options.
And there are no shortage of rails to trails kind of bike trails, the flatter ones that we're all used to. I mean, I'm from Minnesota. We've got one that goes across the whole state of Iowa. So no one's a stranger to a long distance trail. But this is really something different, isn't it? The experience of the Alpine, we're seeing the mountain views. This would really be something for us.
It's it's a backcountry bike riding experience, and it's high mountain. It's being up in the mountains and enjoying that incredible environment on your bike and in the summer. I mean, I've been riding the new trail that's built already, and it's so nice to be up there in the summer, in the fall, enjoying it. I've been doing it for years as a skier in this same place. I've been skiing there for decades, but it always ended at the end of the when the snow was gone. Now we've got some trails up there that extend your opportunity to be up and enjoying the mountains for year round.
It certainly would be a marquee draw for the area. Once built, and even as it's being built, as a community asset, it takes a real community to put it together. And I think the community would owe a debt of gratitude to the visionaries and to the people putting in the sweat equity from the Pondere Peddlers. But I know, too, that you're coordinating with a number of other entities, including the city and other organizations. Do you want to talk a little bit about how that works? How do you pull the community together in support?
Yeah, I can speak to that a little bit. You just kind of stick your neck out there and do it. When I first approached the peddlers a couple years ago, I think they were so busy with all the other projects they had going on that the initial response was a little bit lukewarm. I think they just had too much on their plate. There was a change in leadership, and all of a sudden, the peddlers came back to me as the city representative, and all of a sudden were just gung-ho, and they wanted to take this project on and make it their mission. And ever since, that's how it's been. So everyone, from my perspective, I did the initial outreach, and every organization that I approached about it, from BLM to IDL to Schweitzer and beyond, everybody could see the vision and really got excited about it and wanted to do what they could to help. I think the vision itself is what gets people behind it. It's an exciting opportunity. And, it's hard to imagine why somebody would be opposed to something like
that. And there's support, of course, from the city. You're here.
And so that was the first part of the process, was developing an agreement with the city, between the city and the Pondere Peddlers. And really what the city was needing was a management agreement. The peddlers were agreeing to build the trail and to maintain it and help the city ensure that it was used appropriately, and that the land up there was not abused or disrespected or what have you. And thus far, it's really been great. There's been a public awareness process that's been part of that to educate users what's okay and what's not okay. The peddlers have been very sensitive to the city's concerns. And I think it's been a great partnership so far, and the partnership's growing.
And Shelby, is part of that concern about the fact that the watershed is part of the city's water source? What part of that area is it now a very important part of the water source, or is it becoming smaller because of the new water plant? Is there concern about that?
Its significance has diminished a little bit in terms of the importance of the water itself. For many, many years, that was the city's only source of drinking water. We completed the lake plant, I think, in 2012, and increasingly that is becoming a more central water source for the city water. So, it's great that we have two options. Of course, one of those options, the Sand Creek plant, is not... it's not really a good option for us through the dry part of the season. So increasingly that becomes less of our primary source. But, like I said, fortunately we have two options. But, yeah, it still is used, but less so.
So the city's a landowner as well as a supporting entity. And on a county level, there are the Trail Mix Committee, the county's supportive?
Yeah, that's right. So I've been part of, I think we've all been part of the Trail Mix Committee. I know John's sat on that committee as well, and it's a relatively new group. It's been around for 2 years, and it's a regional group that focuses on connectivity and recreational trail opportunities, not just in greater Sandpoint, but really throughout the region, connecting county to county and across the panhandle from Washington to Montana. So, for instance, one project that we kind of championed early on was the U.S. Bike Route 10 that was approved recently, and that cuts through Bonner County from Washington to Montana. So initially we did a green printing and asset mapping process where we looked at opportunities, both existing and potential throughout the region for connectivity and recreation, and we rated those. It was quite a process, and top of the list was the Watershed Crest Trail. So it was great to see that, and I think it really speaks to how great of an asset and opportunity the Crest Trail is, and how much support it has from not just Sandpoint, but the regional community.
So we're going to take a short break here. This is 88.5 KRFY in Ponderay. We're going to have a little music break and listen to everyone's favorite bicycle song, The Bicycle Race by Queen. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Watershed Crest Trail. Bicycle Race by Queen. And I think after listening to that, everybody got up, got on their bike, went out, and there's no one left listening.
That's right. It's such a nice sunny day. Unless you're a peddler at home that you have.
Welcome back to the morning show. This morning we're talking about the Watershed Crest Trail and the Ponderay Peddlers with Jim Mellon, Shelby Rodenstadt, and John Monks. And this is a really big project. The peddlers have been visible for a long time and have done a lot of stuff, but how does this fit into the peddlers' overall vision of the work they do, the club membership, and its general activities?
Well, trail building is kind of been a big part of what the club has been about right from the beginning, and so building more trail fits right in with what we have been doing. You know, Shelby had mentioned that he'd thought there was a little bit of a reticence on the part of the club, and there was, because this is the biggest project that we of a club have ever undertaken. And we're, like I mentioned earlier, we're a 501c3, and we have a board of directors and so on, and we as our bike club board decided, let's do it, and we've been, you know, applying our efforts towards making this happen ever since then. This is a much bigger project than anything we've ever undertaken. It involves multiple landowners, as opposed to most of the other things we've done. We have a list of trails that we've worked on. We've worked on a number of projects just with the Forest Service. Trail 3, the Gold Hill Trail, we had a role in that. The Mineral Point trails, trail down into Green Bay, that was one of our projects. The Brush Lake Trail up north of Bonner's Ferry, a mountain bike original. I mean, it was a trail that didn't exist at all, and we went to work with the Forest Service up there and designed and helped them build a mountain bike specific trail Syringa, that's one where we've done all on private property.
There's a lot that the Ponderay Peddlers have done, and I know I've seen at times a map around town that shows where some of these places are. Is that still available?
Well, you know, people wonder where these trails are, even the Syringa / Sherwood trails. People are afraid to hike some of those because they get lost, so... So there's an easy solution to that, and it involves a smartphone, and almost everyone has a smartphone, except for Sandy Compton.
Either that or take Jim with you. Yeah.
There's a great solution. IMBA, which is International Mountain Bike Association, teamed up with REI a few years ago, and they created something called the MTB Project. And so you can go out to your app store and it's a free app. And download this, and then you can download the trails in your area, and you go out there, and the trails, and many trails are on there already. All the Schweitzer trails, Syringa, Sherwood, Trail 3. And so with this, you don't even need, once they're loaded, you don't need service. So you're out there using your phone as a GPS, and there's a little blue dot that shows you exactly where you are. And it's not just for bikers. They spun off some more applications. So there's the hiking project and the trail run project as well. And they're very similar. And there's a, and with each trail there's a write up that describes, you know, the huckleberries, the views, the, you know, the bear grass and so forth. And there are photos on there as well. And you can see an elevation profile, so see what you're getting into.
So if someone's from out of town and they have a mountain bike and maybe they're not that smartphone savvy, there's a few of us out there. Are there resources? Does the Pondere Pedalers have a website that people can go to for more information if they're coming in from out of town?
You can go to, we do have a website, and we also have a presence on Facebook. Another good source on Facebook is the Ride 7B group, which is a bicycling specific thing. There's also a new mountain bike trail guide booklet that's been published. Brian Anderson at Greasy Fingers Bike Shop put together a guide that you can purchase, and it's got all sorts of all the local mountain bike trails included in it.
So what's the website's address again?
www.ponderepedalers.com.
Easy enough.
You want me to do that phonetically?
Yeah. There you go. And this will tell us about the mountain bike trails, but also about the flat ones, the cross.
Correct.
Yes,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And there's all sorts of, I mean, the full range of ability kind of trails. You can go, you know, if you go over to Priest Lake and ride the Lakeshore Trail. If you've got young kids and you want to introduce them to riding mountain bikes and riding on a single track trail, the trails at Priest Lake are absolutely beautiful for that.
So let's go back to what are some of the challenges that face us in terms of getting the trail completed?
I can speak to that a little bit. I think a lot of it is, as John mentioned earlier, we're in the process of getting formal approvals from landowners. And a big one is any federal agency, BLM, for example, they require a NEPA process, which is a rather lengthy environmental and archaeological assessment. If there's any public use of that land, it's gonna trigger that process, and that process can actually take years. And then, of course, you can't get your written approval or agreement until that process is complete. So, that's gonna be I guess a bit of a hurdle for us. We have obviously been in conversation with BLM. Staff is excited about the trail. They're excited to commit resources to that process. They do have some resources that they can contribute, their staff time and all of that. And so they're ready and willing to move forward with that. Where we're at right now on our end is getting them specific GPS coordinates for that exact route from start to finish. And so we're in that process. Jim here is actually one of the leads, and he's the lead actually in that process of identifying where is the best route. So we expect to have that done at some point this summer. And so we would then initiate that NEPA process with BLM. And then also that would provide, I guess, the information necessary for other property owners to sign off on agreements. And then, of course, there's funding. We need to get a little more funding. But other than that, I'm also going to be you know, I think we'll have to go back before city council and review the final route before we can move on towards completion, because the route has, I expect that it will have changed a little bit from what was originally envisioned when it went through council last year. Primarily phase four, I think, is going to have to be adjusted. And so we want to make sure that everybody's 100% behind this trail, and it's just going to take a little bit more time to get there.
So I know with NEPA, there's opportunities for public comment, and as you go through a public process to get final approval from the city, there'll be opportunities for public comment. How does the public stay engaged? Are there ways that they can find out when to go to do certain things?
You know, at this point, I think we're not at that place yet, but certainly when we are, we'll provide that information, and we can certainly advertise that through the city's website, through Pondere Peddler's website, Facebook, social media, those kinds of things. And then I'm sure, you know, at that point, too, we can engage the community kind of on the ground to participate in that. In that part of it.
And we hope you'll come back to KRFY and give us some updates and let us know as things proceed, how our listeners can help.
Yeah. That's right. And you mentioned that the NEPA process is quite a complex process compared to something like building an industrial plant, something like that, where you'd need an environmental impact statement. Is it that complex?
Well, there's a variety of levels, and like something like the Rock Creek Mine is going through the NEPA process. They're doing an environmental impact statement. Mm-hmm. It's the largest. That's a big kind of thing. At a smaller, more project type scale is an environmental assessment, which is less rigorous, but still an investigation of the impacts of the proposed use. And I think that I've talked with some friends of mine that are retired Forest Service people that have been dealing with NEPA, has been their life, basically, and I've gotten some good advice and ideas from them, and I think it's going to be a process. It might take a couple of years, but that the publicly owned land, the City of Sand Point land, the Idaho Department of Forests, right, the state land, the BLM land, all the publicly owned land, we are going to get permission from the public landowners. But we have a bigger problem is a couple of private parcels that are on Baldy Ridge, east of the top of Baldy, that the optimal trail route would go across a couple of pieces of private property, they're
a little stickier.
Yeah, you can't say, hey, you know,
right? Doesn't get
here. We come. It's their property. Yeah.
And then is the trail all within the City of Sandpoint? Is the land contained for the trail, or does it leave Sandpoint?
Yeah, well, I mean, really, the entire trail is outside of the City of Sandpoint, but the city does own roughly 4,000 acres up there that probably contains, gosh, I would say 2/3 of the trail or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned you asked about NEPA. There is a part of the Mikinik Trail, which it was originally conceived as the phase four of the Watershed Crest Trail. There's Forest Service has some land that the Mikinik Trail is on, and that process could really be expedited where the trail goes through where it's already an existing trail like Mikinik. Mm-hmm. The approval can really be expedited. So both BLM and Forest Service, I believe, are owners of land that trail crosses, and so we're expecting that if the trail did end up finishing down Mikinik, or at least one section of it, that part should be expedited in terms of the NEPA process.
So we're running a little short on time here. Any last minute thoughts? Julie, you had a question for the
folks.
Well,
I had a question for Jim, and we know that you're a gentleman who's traveled far and wide and seen a lot of beautiful places, and I'm just wondering how this compares in your experience of beautiful bike areas. Is it up there? Where do you rank it?
Well, I'm pretty biased, but you know, I've been around a few places, you know, Bend and Moab and so forth. But I think this is the best. And this is, I mean, when this is done, I mean, I think Schweitzer is going to really benefit from this. People, when John and I were up and rode that the other day, we ran into a couple gentlemen from Spokane, and we took them, we showed them how to get to the top of the Phase One trail, and they were excited. They're going to go home and tell their friends, and people will be coming back. So if you go out onto Facebook, and we have a Facebook page, if you like us, then you'll be abreast of any trail work days. And I took a running group up there last fall, and they were all excited. They said, how can we help? And anybody that goes up there wants to be involved.
And you don't have to be a member of the Pondere Peddlers but to help out. But if people want to become a member, how can they do that?
You can do that you could show up at our meeting tonight, Tuesday night, 6 o'clock at Laughing Dog Brewery. We're having our monthly meeting, and we'll be talking about stuff we've talked about here today, plus bike rides that are coming up, trail maintenance is a big, you know, if you build trails, then part of it also becomes you got to take care of them, and we do that too. So you could come to our meeting. You could also join through our Facebook page, again, our Facebook or the PondereePeddlers.com website.
And that Facebook page is Ride 7B.
Oh, Ride 7B.
Easy enough. And at the meeting tonight, will you us up to date on the huckleberries going up Schweitzer, and also bear and moose sightings? Are those included? Because I'm interested.
There are berries that you just got to know the right elevation, and that's, either start climbing or descending.
He didn't tell us much, did he, Phil?
He's not going
out on a limb, is he, to tell us where his huckleberry spots are.
But there are bears up there, and they know where the huckleberries are.
Yeah.
I was scouting.
Look for fresh scat.
Oh.
I was scouting the trails last Thursday and ran across a beautiful cinnamon bear, you know, and I wasn't sure what it was. At first, I just saw the back, and I whistled, and he spun around and looked at me and took off.
So. Kind of makes it all worth it,
no
doesn't
worries.
It?
Leave the bears alone.
Yeah. Jim's
no
pretty intimidating
with bears.
On the trail.
That's right.
Well, we'd like to thank our guests today from the Pondere Peddlers, Jim Mellon, Shelby Ronstadt, and John Monks, here talking about the Watershed Crest Trail. If you tuned in late and missed part of the show, it will be available as a podcast in the next day or two. And also, as always, we are live streaming, so if you enjoyed today's show and you're out of town next week, go to KRFY.org, and you can listen to the morning show. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming in.
Phil and Julie, thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to take you out with a little bit of Leo Kottke, Busted Bicycle, and then Julie and I will come back and talk a little bit about the community calendar and some upcoming events. Leo Kottke, Busted Bicycle. Welcome back to the morning show with Phil Huff.
And Julie Calamine. Phil, that was a great program.
Yeah, what a fun idea. The Watershed Crest Trail. I can't wait to ride it all the way through.
I know it. Wait till all the phases are done. That's going to be a great bike ride.
Well, there's a bunch of things coming up this week, starting with the morning show tomorrow and Thursday. So on the Wednesday edition of the morning show for July 13th, hosts Chris Bessler and Susie Perez will be joined by their guest, Kim Woodruff, who's director of the City of Sandpoint Park and Recreation Department. He's going to be talking about the city parks and the schedule of events that are coming up with the city's park and rec department. That's at 8 o'clock here on KRFY. We also on Thursday have the Thursday edition of the morning show with hosts Jack Peterson and this week Jim Healy. Their guest will be the Festival at Sandpoint Executive Director Dino Wall, who always has a lot of fun information and usually some song clips for the upcoming festival acts. So that should be a lot of fun.
Very good. And then next week it'll be myself. Phil, you're going to be on vacation, but it'll be myself and a co-host, and we'll be talking with Brian Baxter about interesting things we can find in the forest, wild edibles, wild crafting, anything of the wild food.
Brian's always a lot of fun. I'm going to miss that, but I'm going to be paddling for about 3 weeks beyond the reach of the airwaves or internet, so I won't be able to listen until I get back and listen to the podcast.
I'm so jealous, Phil, but we will make do without you, and there are a few upcoming events this weekend, and one of them is the Northwest Wine Fest. That's up at Schweitzer, so that's near where the trail that we've just been talking about is. And you can raise a glass or two at the Wine Fest. That's going to be both Saturday and Sunday, the 16th and 17th. There will be 20 regional wineries pouring 80 wines, plus craft beer tent, barbecue, etc. So that's really worth a visit, and it goes from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Saturday and also Sunday. Sunday only going till 5 p.m. But another thing that we don't want to forget about this weekend, and talked about it last week or two, is the upcoming garden tour from the Bonner County Gardeners Association, and that's going to be again on Saturday, self-guided tour, eight properties, eight gardens, and it's anywhere from Kootenai to Garfield Bay. That goes from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m.
It's always a busy time in Sandpoint. If you are interested in other activities going on, a great source of information. There's a lot of good community calendars. Here on our KRFY.org, we have a link to Sandpoint Online, which has a great community calendar, so you can learn more about what's coming up in the next few days or week or month.
Much to do, but that's about it for us this week.
So our show is about wrapped up. We're going to go out with one of the one-hit wonders, the number one song in 1969. Do you remember what that was, Julie?
No, Phil, I was four.
So it was a great visionary song. It was 2525 by Zager and Evans, who as a one-hit wonder hold the distinction of having the only number one one-hit wonder hit in both the USA and UK charts at the same time.
That is a great song.
Zager and Evans.
All right. Well, we'll see you in a few weeks, Phil. Have fun paddling.